A Tribute to a Cold Warrior, Gordon Lavell, 1938 to 2012. At 3 o'clock in the morning in a nursing home in Los Angeles, Gordon Lavell left this world. Behind, he left a series of mysteries. Was he involved in the JFK assassination or not? Did he work for the CIA or did he not? One thing is for sure, Gordon Lavell was flamboyant. And Gordon Lavell knew how to promote Gordon Lavell. Over the years, we became very close friends with Gordon. I could see through the crusty, rough exterior into a man who was interested in human rights, a man who believed that he could make a difference in the world, and dedicated his final years to the pursuit of free or cheap energy. He thought that energy would be coming from the UFO. Back engineering, he was convinced, had been done, and now this energy was sequestered by a conglomerate of oil company interests to keep it off the market. Gordon Lavell was quite a private eye. He worked with us on several cases. His most illustrious client, I guess, was Ramsey Clark, the former Attorney General of the United States under the Carter administration. In this tribute to Gordon Lavell, I thought we would just play an interview that we did with Gordon some time back. But things never really changed with Gordon. What he was talking about then was as prevalent as the day before he died. Gordon Lavell, welcome to the show. Gordon, referred to as a private eye. You're a secret agent, I think. Businessman. What kind of title do you want?
I'm sort of an industrialist.
Okay, an industrialist.
Yeah,
Gordon Lavell, industrialist.
Yeah, right.
One of the things a lot of people don't understand, or maybe haven't read about your background, is you've been interested in the theater all along, too. You were at the Pasadena Playhouse, right?
As a kid, yeah.
I always wanted to make it there, never did. So
yeah.
If I remember correctly, you had to audition or something to get in.
Oh, yeah. You had to do a little number.
So what were you in?
I wasn't interested in acting as much as I was interested in producing and directing.
But you did something with Michael Todd. Remember him? Right?
Yeah,
I
worked for him when he was building his balloons and built some of those original display balloons that were used for the film.
This is really, and I guess a lot of people say, well, Pippin, you need to settle down. You need to get into one area. But I don't even, I can't hold a candle to you, Gordon. You've done everything from Waco investigations to you name it.
Watergate, JFK, you name it. Worked on them all.
Now, a lot of people know you from the Kennedy movie. They got that wrong about you, didn't they?
The movie was right. It portrayed me as the Mr. X character who was advising Garrison inaccurately, which is what I was doing.
So that was a disinformation deal? You talk about it.
Yeah, I was kind of working at the White House at the same time I was working for Garrison, and he figured I was working for CIA, which was wrong, and decided to make me a CIA agent, which I've never been able to shed. And it's not that I want to shed it, it's just that...
That's a good image. You get a good seat at a restaurant, though.
Yeah.
If you don't give him a good seat, he'll kill you.
That's right.
You've never...
No, I avoid that assiduously. Not a good idea.
Yeah.
Bad karma. Lots of bad karma.
Well, and now I understand that you've been talking to some of your sources in Washington, and you're very connected to some people in the CIA. If you didn't work for them, know them pretty well.
We have a mutual admiration society.
Okay. Now, I know for a fact that you have certain people at the CIA that do have their arms around you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have. Like I said, we're very affectionate.
and so there is an element of protection here. So, and you've had experience of doing things like this with people before.
Oh, yeah.
Lyndon Johnson said you grab them by whatever you have their hearts and minds.
That was Chuck Colson. I used to work for Colson.
Oh, or Chuck said that.
Yeah, he's the one. Walk over his grandmother. Yeah. Get President Nixon elected.
Yeah. Now, you've worked with almost all types and all kinds of people there.
Yeah.
Over the years. When you did, they came a long way from the Pasadena Playhouse to working for Garrison and working out at the White House at the same time. How'd that happen?
Well, I was working at the White House doing an electronic countermeasures project called Checkmate. And when Garrison started to come out of the closet with his little fairy tale, they said, Gordon, don't you know him? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, can you get a job and kind of get us some inside information? Me, I thought I was James Bond, and I was really a jackass. And was wet behind the ears and didn't realize I was about to step on landmines. And but I did it anyway, and I got him and pretty much destroyed him. And I'm pretty proud of that because he was full of bull. He was really grand fraud.
You've been asked many times about JFK. You were involved with Waco, too.
Yeah, I worked.
That was a civil suit, right?
Yeah, I worked for Ramsey Clark, and we prepared a civil suit. We took to the Supreme Court.
Now he's a former attorney general, of course.
Yeah, I worked for him for a decade.
And when you talk about Ramsey Clark, a lot of people, he had a high profile, still does. He's still practicing, right?
Yeah, his last case he lost. Saddam got hung. he represented Saddam Hussein, and they lost.
You really didn't go out looking for controversy all the time, even though you got an interesting kind of a character trait that I have. Sometimes it's fun to get in somebody's face.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some of them deserve it, you know. They really do, and the bigger the better. And they've expressed themselves rather angrily in 2005, but they didn't succeed in convincing me.
Well, tell me a little bit about that. What happened?
Oh, it got terrible. They were planting dope on me and causing me to go to jail and stuff like that. But they couldn't indict me, and they couldn't even get me to arraignment because their cases. I'm a pretty fair detective, and I'd make their cases fall apart by threatening the DAs with big lawsuits.
Where did this happen? In Vegas?
It happened in Vegas. It happened in New Orleans. It happened in Phoenix. They hit me with a SWAT team in Phoenix. And had me sticking machine guns in my face one night in Phoenix over saying that I was on America's Most Wanted. And I told them, I said, no, I'm not on America's Most Wanted, but you're going to be in federal court tomorrow morning if you don't pull that machine gun down real quick.
And they did this right in a public place.
Oh, yeah, they did it in a public place. So I got rather angry. I called Ramsey on the phone and handed him the phone and told him, I said, I'm his chief investigator, and you better cease and desist because we will sue you all the way to the Supreme Court for the whole value of the city.
Who were these characters that were doing this?
There were a SWAT team. There was
from the police department itself.
Five-man SWAT team. Five machine guns right in my face.
who do you think sicked them on you?
Well, there are two options. A friend of the actress Linda Gray by the name of Sandra Rose Michael did it, or it was the boys from Majestic, and at this point it's kind of a toss-up. I don't know who. Linda was a little unhappy with me. And
were you having an affair with Linda?
No, we were having an affair.
I was going to congratulate you. I didn't know, but I guess she turned out not to be as friendly as she is on television.
No, they faked some love letters that were not what she wanted to hear, and so she bought off on their fake love letters, and we didn't know that they could just intercept your stuff on the computer and rewrite it and forward it on. They do that these days. They're really crafty. We are run by a government of gangsters.
They can actually take an email and change it?
Instantly.
It doesn't take any time.
No, they do it quick. Believe me, they're really quick at rewriting emails.
Is there any way we can tell if they're doing it to you?
Not unless you can get the email that you sent out to somebody.
And compare it
to them.
Well, that explains my poor relationship with a lot of people.
They're really good at destabilizing you if they want to destabilize you. They can cause you a ton of grief. They can black bag your apartment and steal your 125 videotapes. I want back, gentlemen. And if I don't get them back, you're going to pay for them. Believe me, one way or another, you're going to give me those tapes back.
in the where'd they take those away from your apartment?
Yeah, I had an apartment in Vegas, and they, they kindly went in there without permission and boo-rayed them.
You've been around the country, but two of the cities that you've operated out of, Las Vegas and New Orleans, they have a huge underbelly of activity from several standpoints.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Vegas particularly. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
That's the slogan was true.
Yeah, I had an incident where a guy knocked on my door at 10 o'clock one morning. I was getting ready to go to the dentist. I opened the door, and he pulled a Glock 45 and stuck it in my face.
It's a 9mm.
Yeah,
right?
A big one. No, this is a big...
Oh, the big one,
The big one. He told me, he started hollering at me, and I knew he was nuts or just there for intimidation purposes, so I slammed the door, and I picked up the phone, and I called the cops in the front desk, and he knocks the door down, the cops come, he hides the gun. I kind of disturbed him with the idea of stabbing him a half a dozen times with a paring knife, and so he accused
me. In other words, the knife had just happened to be there.
It was on the counter that he had me backed up against.
And I guess... Really, I haven't researched this, but you probably have. If you got shot and you were close enough of a knife,
you can
probably
stab him a few times before you die.
You could do some damage.
Oh, you can definitely do some damage before you die.
Yeah, okay.
That was why the 45 got invented in the first place.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. The Maori Indians in the Philippines.
Now, did you in all of your investigating time, did you ever carry a weapon?
No, I don't like them. I think they're dangerous. They get you in trouble.
Yeah, if you got one, you might want to use it.
I have a little pocket-blinding laser that'll cause your eyeballs to fall out your head and stop your heart, and it's quite legal to have, and it's very painful.
Well, I'm going to remember not to upset you.
Yeah, it's known to stop. It's faster than a bullet, I can assure you.
Now when we talk about these things like that... why do you think there's all this violence and investigations? And everybody knows about James Bond and all those things, but I guess really the secret here is two-pronged, control and greed, from people that want it. If you got some knowledge, they want it or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, well, if they got...
Or are these people just naturally nasty?
They just naturally... They don't have anything better to do than... They intimidate people just for entertainment. They like to intimidate people, and I don't intimidate, so that caused a lot of friction, lots of friction.
Now, you're talking about people that work for decent operations normally, right? And they're nothing but two-bit hoods.
Yeah, that's just what I call it. It's government by gangster these days. It's been government by gangster since they murdered Kennedy. And we're heading into a state of what I call the Fourth Reich. We really are heading in. We are a fascist nation now, and we're a quasi-military police state. I got searched for a gun the other day getting on a bus, on a Greyhound bus, to come out here. So they shook me down for a gun and shook my luggage down. And what was I going to do? Steal the bus and say, take me to Cuba?
You know, one of those, that's a strange thing. Those bus stations and... they go through these little towns. If you were going to get on and cause mayhem, you'd do it in a little town, not in a major bus stop.
Yeah, well, like I said, what am I going to do, steal a bus and get the driver to take me to Cuba? You know, what am I going to do with a bus? Get real.
So you're getting hassled still.
So you're getting hassled? Well, welcome to the club. We're going to talk to Gordon Novell, the infamous private investigator who has been in on many of the official Washington secrets over the years. Now, he's never really been employed by the U.S. government other than a retainer by some people who are connected to the U.S. government. But that's the way it works in the conspiracy business. You always try to get a third or fourth party, water things down, dodge accountability if at all possible. Gordon Novell, Anthony Sanchez, the man who owns Scepter Radio Network, and yours truly, Jerry Pippin, all have something in common. We suspect that we've had a biological attack on ourselves. That seems like they're right out of a grade B movie. Well, what happened to Anthony, what happened to Jerry, and what happened to Gordon also seems like it came out of a grade B movie. Biological attacks on people in the media? Is that possible? Anthony Sanchez suddenly was given a strange brew, a drink, when he was covering Dulce. He was near Dulce at the time, as a matter of fact. And right after that, his face became frozen, he had a high temperature, and he almost died. Last February, when I was doing some shows on the same subject and other conspiracies, suddenly a malady struck me. Started out innocent enough, just a small infection in my arm, but by the end of the week, I thought I was going to die. And the doctors, they couldn't figure out what was wrong. All they knew was I had a strange brew of very nasty stuff suddenly appearing in my blood. Fortunately, I survived. I do have some health issues that I think can be traced directly back to that incident. But can I prove this? Of course not. And now Gordon Novell has succumbed to this mystery illness. Gordon Novell, we will miss you for sure. Let's get back to the interview with Gordon that I did in Laughlin, Nevada. And Gordon talks about conspiracies and why he believes in them, because he has seen them firsthand. Listen closely. We start out with Gordon explaining a little bit about conspiracies and what he's seen firsthand.
We're heading into a military police state, and even the local cops have got to have their Gestapo fascist tactics, and I don't want to call them the real names. I'd like to spew out to them, but they're just fascist, illegitimate sons of...
Do you think this has been... It seems like we've been progressing that way all along. Is some sort of plan?
They want to put us under a military police state condition. I really believe that. That's why I believe they did 9/11. I'm a fan of the big conspiracy at 9/11 too. I saw them do it at Waco, so I know.
You just mentioned something. You mentioned Al Qaeda. Back there in the Carter administration, I think you were involved in some terrorism investigations or something, right? A hostage or something.
Yeah, I got a hostage out of Beirut. That was, I don't brag about it, but it was a very rough proposition.
Well, didn't they catch you during the process of it?
Yeah, that was the idea. I had to get caught.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I didn't go in there.
How do you volunteer for something like that?
By somebody writing a check for $50,000. That's how. Give me the $50,000, and I'll go do your deed.
And so you did it, and they released you too. Obviously, you're here.
They like me. They were impressed because I had a letter from Khomeini that gave me authorization, a fatwa letter, to get this hostage out.
Was it a real letter?
Oh, yeah. It was from Khomeini. They held me in prison for a couple of weeks while they checked the letter out before they released the hostage for me.
And so you're no stranger to danger. What's the most dangerous thing you've done?
Fooling around
with
some,
be on the show.
Fooling around with some women that I
I
wish
understand.
I hadn't fooled around with.
Well, hey, well, you know, you ended up in
I had
court.
Some good time.
You had one time over women, so yeah. We don't want to get into that subject.
Yeah, I married a couple of beautiful ones. Mistake.
Well, that happens.
Yeah.
And
I like
the charm of it all, huh?
Yeah, but that's so.
Well, that goes back because you went to Hollywood early on. Were you going to be an actor, producing and directing?
Yeah, but...
Well, you had to deal with some unsavory characters like that in New Orleans, too.
Oh, yeah, well,
I meant if the movie was even close, when they're talking to you about it, you were out there doing a lot of things. I'm talking about the JFK movie now.
Oh, yeah. I got kind of close to that. That was a little bit... I got too close to the candle for the flame. Yeah. That flame is a little warm. Next thing I know, I go from being Garrison's chief of security one day to his most important material witness the next day. That's quick.
Now, I understand that. Now, you really feel, don't you, Gordon? And you know, I know you know deep in your heart and probably have evidence for it, that the same people that did Kennedy and are still around doing everybody else.
I would have to believe that, based on what I know, that the people who whacked Kennedy were a combination of the German Galen organization and probably Majestic 12 and some folks from the FBI, because they had to cover it up, and
we'll,
the mafia who probably pulled the triggers.
As your good friend Jim Morris says, all of the suspects.
All the suspects. Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah, they had a nice little show going there.
It's not easy to get here. Gordon ended up taking a bus.
Yeah.
It's not easy to get here at all. Now, Gordon, I took a bus here once. That's the reason I knew about the bus station in a major. They shake everybody down, and then they go down about 60 miles, and anybody can get on that bus if wanted to. So it's kind of silly.
Like I said, you know, what?
It seems to me that we've had lots of strange things like that happening over the years, and this Homeland Security issue all the way around looks like it's just a way to make money.
It's a farce. I mean, the whole system today is a grand farce. I mean, all these. You let me have the terrorist. I would rather have my freedoms, and you can scare the hell and let the terrorists go ahead and scare the hell out of me. But let me have my freedoms. All right. Don't fool with my freedoms. I'll take my risk with the terrorists. Don't worry.
Speaking of freedom, you were involved in Watergate, and you almost lost your freedom.
Yeah, well, I almost went to jail for conspiracy to obstruct justice and erasing all the tapes. So I was accused of that, and I was guilty. So
yeah, so you're going to confess now?
Yeah,
it's past the statute of limitations.
Yeah, well, past the statute. Right. Yeah, but I managed to counter intimidate Jaworski and threaten to expose his hand.
That's a special prosecutor.
Yeah, he wanted me to come home, and he was very angry at me for conspiring with Colson to erase all the tapes.
What kind of guy is Chuck Colson, really? I guess he was rotten then, and he went to prison and turned out to be a minister.
No, I liked him when he was rotten.
I know that. I can tell that.
Yeah, I mean, he's a real human being. I mean, anybody that would walk over his grandmother and step on his grandmother to get a president elected is my kind of guy. But, you know, he was real friendly until he got to prison. After he got to prison, he ratted me out on the tapes thing about... And I don't know whether that traded him some years. I hope it did. But
what was going on with Watergate there? I mean, it seems like it's such a minor crime.
Watergate was a totally bogus operation. It was caused by USA versus Novell for interstate transportation of electronic intelligence equipment in Reno in 1969.
Now, you're pretty good at electronic intelligence, right?
They say I am.
Okay, I have. So
some people say I am.
Well, I've heard that before. It's the reason I said that.
Yeah,
I've said that. So you've done your share of this sort of stuff.
I've heard some.
Can you give me a little background?
Well, it started off with me developing a machine that I put in the Oval Office at the White House that made it impossible for foreign agents to bug the president's conversations, or a sleeper agent on the National Security Council walking in and tape recording the thing. That in turn got me into other things. But yes, I have made surveillance equipment in the past, the best there ever was. I invented about half of it.
You're no stranger to technology.
No, I like technology.
So we're talking about Gordon Novell, who's been involved in all kinds of government intelligence and counterintelligence operations, but at the same time, you got a brain there. You've done a lot of developing of a lot of different things, including all this intel equipment.
Yeah, well, I've done some interesting stuff in the past. So we like to. I built some technologies and got some patents that worked out and keep me afloat. Nickel a year or two, you know.
But there are good guys in the CIA, in other words.
Yeah, in fact, I got to tell you that the CIA is like a bunch of Eagle Scouts. They're my favorite bunch of guys because they're all patriotic. Most of them that reported about the weapons of mass destruction were not there. Our guy wrote 14 reports and said, hey, they're not there. That's BS. Don't do it. And I did everything I could to stop the invasion, but Ramsey and I don't have drag enough weight to overcome the likes of a Rumsfeld. 9/11's bogus skits. I mean, it's Kennedy all over again. Just a big. They've learned how to go from killing a president to killing off 3,000 Americans.
Did you think they planned 9/11 the way it turned out?
When I saw that building number 7 come down that afternoon, I knew that all was bogus because you can't wire a building and blow it up that quick. And why did they blow up the building? There was nothing the matter with the building. There was nothing the matter. That guy just collected insurance. That guy, Paul Silverman, or whatever his name is a gangster.
Yeah.
They're criminals.
And Silverstein.
Silverstein,
I
whatever
mean,
his
if
name.
We're going to get super liable, we might as well do it right.
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Silverstein is a crook. He's a crook who insured the buildings and got his money and took them down.
Do you know, you went to Waco and you did an investigation, and our buddy Bob Ricks of the FBI, we've had a few run-ins, but you not like you.
I always thought Mr. Ricks was a major league war criminal.
And he
killed a bunch of babies and women and children. Gassed them, shot them, burned them alive.
And you guys went to court on that case, and you had to do it civilly, right?
Yeah, and the judge that we had to face was the judge who engineered it to begin with, Walter Smith. He's the one that caused it. He's the one who actually caused Waco to happen. So how could we win? And then the Fascist Fifth backed him up, and the Supreme Fascist group up there that Bush appointed, they backed them all up. You can't beat the government. If you catch them dead-handed, they're going to let them go. That's why 9/11, I don't know if we'll ever, if we could get them to confess, I'm not sure that that would help.
It seems to me, and when we're talking about these things, and you've been involved since the early 60s, were you ever, did you come on board after the Bay of Pigs or before?
During.
During, okay.
Yeah. I got accused of burglary of an ammunition dump with a whole bunch of CIA materials with CIA stamped all over it, stamped in our arms, which was a CIA proprietary.
Did you?
By Sam Cummings. No, we didn't burglarize anything. We just gave the Cubans what I was told to give them. My control just happened to pop up. I had a drag strip, and the bunker was out there filled full of these neat explosives, and we just backed the truck up and took them all out, sent them over to Cuba. Boom, bang, went in for the Bay of Pigs. They were diversionary explosives. So, but later Garrison found out about it and charged me with burglary, but nobody ever prosecuted me because I didn't steal anything. Can't steal what belongs to you.
That's a good argument. You've had a special relationship with Ramsey Clark all this time.
Yeah, I've been Mr. Clark's Doberman since about 1966, 67. I started working for him when I was coming out of the White House. Well, I do have those CD-ROMs I told you about.
Yes, you do. You have a little insurance.
Yeah, I have a little catastrophe insurance is what I call it. If these CD-ROMs got on the web, the stock markets would crash in a month in very rapid order.
You just heard Gordon Novell explain how he's still here. A lot of people have been listening to this conversation saying, well, if that's really happening, how come they didn't just knock him off? Because they do knock people off, right?
Yeah, well, you know, you don't kill that which is going to destroy you.
Gordon Novell will be cremated and then laid to rest beside his mother at a cemetery in Florida. Gordon Novell, a career and a life that is no more. I'm Jerry Pippin. Thanks for listening.